amen, way of ministering and touching our hearts. Amen. And we want the Lord to minister today. Amen. Praise God. Ephesians, the fifth chapter, I want to read verse 1. Ephesians 5. And Paul's writing to the church. Everybody say the church. When you read the epistles, it was letters to churches. And these letters still are applicable to the church. Paul says in 5:1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Wow. Dear children, as parents that have children, but Anna, we ought to be dear children. You ever had a child that was a pest and a booger? Yeah, I have some. But dear children, I want to be a dear child of God. I want to be one that is dear. You can't be a dear child unless you're a child that's near God. Amen. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And walk in what? Walk in love as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Does your life stink? Verse 2 here says, walk in love because he gave himself as a sweet smelling savor for your life. When your life stinks, the reason why it stinks, you need to walk in love. Walk in the love of God. Verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once. Everybody say once. Not let it be once named amongst you. Don't even give it an opportunity to even be attached to you. As becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor what? Somebody say foolish talking. Nor jesting. Which are not what? Convenient. Come on, it's not convenient. But rather giving of thanks. How does giving thanks counter all this filthy, foolish talking, jesting? Which are not convenient. The giving of thanks is always appropriate. We ought to be thankful. Amen. Quit being sour. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be sour. Verse 5, for this you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ and of God. There's no room in the kingdom of God for this. Verse 9, let no man deceive you with what kind of words? Vain words. For because these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of what? God don't want you to be a child of disobedience. He wants you to be a dear child. Verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with those that have deceiving, vain, foolish words, foolish ways. Verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are the children of but now ye are light in the world. Walk as what? Children of light. We found dear children, now children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. What matters to you ought to be what matters to God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather do what to them? Reprove them. How do you reprove darkness? By letting your light shine. Verse number 12. Or it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done to them in secret. But all things that are reproved are manifest by, here we go, the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is the light. Somebody say, turn the light on. Turn the light on with your light, your life. Verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awaken thou that sleepest and arisest from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He's going to be your source. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is that you walk as dear children. I want you to understand with me, God's really, really, really interested in your life and how you're walking. Praise God. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for your power. Thank you for your grace and goodness today, Lord, your righteousness, the riches of your presence. We love and we thank you for today. And help us, oh God, to hear, to walk, and to do what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Three times, he says, for us to walk as dear children, but our walk three times in verse 2, he says, walk in love, not in sin sensations. Walking in love means you're going to walk selflessly, and you're going to reflect Christ in your actions and in your motions. Your notions and motions really matter. Somebody ought to say amen. So first thing, he said, walk in love. The second thing, in verse 8, he said, walk as children of light. Light has to be in you for you to walk in light. For the light to be people of the light, you better walk in the light. You can't say I'm of the light if you're not walking in the light. You're either in Christ, either you're full of the Holy Ghost or you're full of something else. Hallelujah. And I want to ask you, how many has the Holy Ghost today? Let me see your hand. And I want to know how many of you the Holy Ghost has you. Come on, what matters today is not if you claim you have the Holy Ghost, but if the Holy Ghost has your life. I want the Holy Ghost to have me. We got to walk in the light. You can't be of the light until you learn to walk in the light. And the next walk, he says in verse 15, walk wisely or circumspectly, not as fools. He said, walk carefully. Make good intentional choices. Living wisely, not carelessly or recklessly. Amen. That was my notes right here on a little piece of paper this morning. Amen. To tell somebody, amen, you don't become an astronaut accidentally. Amen. To be an astronaut, guess what happens? You got to be intentionally. It has to start. The way you start training and conditioning and thinking and being willing. You know, an astronaut, when he signs up to be an astronaut, he is willing to take a trip out of space and to face the risk. Now, some people they're not willing, amen, to say, God, I will face the risk. Amen. The risk that we have in this hour, amen, even if it's death, it's no big deal because God's going to be with us. When you finally step out and say, God, I'm yours regardless, amen, I'm thankful that there's a God that will be with us. But an astronaut doesn't become one accidentally. And for you to go to heaven, you're not going to accidentally get to heaven. And for you to be a real Christian, it's not going to be something accidentally that happens to you. Amen. It's going to be something intentionally you work on every day. It's not a one-time deal with God. Amen. God didn't fill you with the Holy Ghost one day, and all of a sudden you don't have to do anything else, and you say, I'm an astronaut. I got a uniform. I get a paycheck from NASA now. No, 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 no. If you're going to be one that takes a trip out of this world and to the other world, you got to be intentional in your walk with God. You better make your election and your calling sure. Amen. I need some help today, and I need you to pay attention today to your soul and your being and realize we got one shot at this world, one shot at life, and we better give it our best. We can't afford to miss. Amen. Oh, friend, when you're down to the last bullet and you know that you got one shot left, you better make that shot count. If you got one arrow in your quiver and you know that you got one, you better give it your best. I want to tell somebody, you got one opportunity in life. Amen. Why not give it to God and give God your best? God is looking for somebody to be all they could be for the master. Somebody say amen. Amen. So, friend, if you're going to be an astronaut, amen, you won't accidentally become one. And if you're planning on making it to heaven, amen, you're not going to accidentally get there. It's going to be by the goodness and the grace of God, yes. But it's going to be because what you do with the grace of God, with the teaching of God's goodness and mercy. Paul said, be therefore followers as dear children. You've got to get in love with God. If you're going to be part of his kingdom, you better walk as a dear child. Amen. You better walk as one that loves God, as people of the light, in the light. And thirdly, you need to walk wisely. It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Everybody ought to be saying amen today. We're living in evil times. Amen. James says this in 4:14, what is your life? Your life is as a vapor. It's here, period, just a little time, and then vanisheth away. I want to talk to you about you today. You were born. Boom, you were born. And guess what? Boom, people die and they're gone. Have you ever looked around? We pulled out of the cemetery the other day in Zavala, and my wife, she was going through the gate, and she said, look, honey, look at that gravestone. We put it in reverse and pulled back inside the gate, and I looked over to the left, and it says Peggy Oliver Boer. I remember Sister Peggy sitting right over here. How quickly life took her. Boom. The other day in Arlington at Brother Chad's mother's grave site, when we pulled into that cemetery, immediately, Sister Sharon, my mind went to the same cemetery just two times before that. I went there, amen, for her mother's grave site and her daddy's. Amen. Her mother's buried there and her daddy. We went to her daddy's funeral and grave. And I mean, boom, Brother Ramsey was here. And boom, Brother Ramsey is gone. And boom, you came into this world. And boom, you will exit out. Life comes suddenly and goes just that fast. Somebody ought to be saying, uh-huh. Go ahead, Pastor. Talk to us about the importance of living. Amen. On the sign this morning when you pulled up, it says we ought to live eternally. Amen. God wants his church not to drag their heels, amen, but to walk as dear children. God wants you to get in love with his word, his ways, and himself. Amen. I want to love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my body, all my mind, all of me, everything of me. God's looking for people today to fall in love with him and walk in love with him and be all they could be in this hour for him. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. You were born. Amen. You don't get to pick the day you were born. You don't get to pick the day that you die. The only part of your life that you get to influence is, guess what? That dash, that 2-inch line on your tombstone that separates the day you were born and the day you die. Isn't it sad that we go to the graveyard and the only thing that represents our life, Sister Riley Powell, is that little dash? You ever ran the 50-yard dash? How many of you ran the 50-yard dash in school? Let me see your hand. Yeah, you ran the 50-yard dash. Today, you got to run that 2-inch dash. Call your life. That 2-inch dash really matters. The 50-yard dash, we huffed and puffed and we tried to make it and tried to beat everybody else. But friend, you are assigned to run your life for yourself. Quit trying to live everybody else's life and start living for Jesus Christ. You got to run this race and you got to finish this race. You got to hang on all the way to the end. Well, I'm just 20 years old, Pastor. I don't care if you're 40 years old or 80 years old. We still got to run in this race. Somebody say amen. I got to finish this course that God has given me. Your life matters. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 90 verse 12, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. My question today, what are you doing with the dash? What are you doing with your life? Y'all know as well as myself, boom, you're here, and boom, you're gone. Yesterday, Carson's deal, we had a little honor and deal for Carson yesterday. He's fisting to leave, but yesterday, I looked at pictures. I looked at Carson walking in that baptistry as just a little boy. I looked at the picture of me holding Carson when I dedicated Carson. I looked at other pictures. I looked at Isabel's picture. I looked at different kids in our church, Coley. I looked at those at Bible quiz. I looked at Ashton, how Ashton has grown so much, sister. And there was one picture that I seen of two little creatures that were in the third building underneath that metal table. And one was Rhett. And I go, oh my, he hadn't changed for us in that facial look, but boy, he has grown up. And I look around here at different ones. Nina, man, Nina, I can't help every time I see you. I see that little girl with bright eyes looking from the back of the church in Central Heights, looking for to the front of the church. I keep seeing that every time I see you. But boom, all of a sudden you're 21 years old or whatever you are. Amen. Here we are today, saint of God. Can you believe that you made it this far? You're at the place all because of the goodness of God and the grace of God. But the Bible says, teach us to number our days. That don't mean for me to just sit there and count my days. It says to take an account of your days. Make sure your days are lived uprightly. Amen. That you're mindful, that you're doing something with your life. Life is as a vapor that is here. Have you ever gone outside on a cold day and went, and watch that. We don't have that many cold days, but look how quickly that little whatever vapor that comes out of your mouth dissipates. That's what it's all about. Amen. Time don't wait for anybody. You can't pause it. You can't rewind it. But you can only use it wisely or you can lose it regretfully. I come to talk to somebody about your life matters today. The Lord is telling us that we need to walk right. Amen. We need to walk as dear children. Time doesn't wait for anybody. Amen. Time just keeps on clicking and ticking. But we need to realize that life is an opportunity. What you do with it, amen, really matters. Redeem the time. Because the days are evil. Time is your span of great opportunity. Some drag through life like life and time is an enemy. My old pastor's son, Timothy Spell, used to have a poem that Father Time is picking your pocket. Man, time is picking your pocket. I'm telling you, before you know it, CJ, you're not that little teenager no more. You're 27 years old, or however old you are. Man, Austin, I seen pictures of you this week, and I thought, man, look at Austin. Time is picking your pocket. But friend, I want to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost today, amen, while you have opportunity, amen, there's no sense just saying, oh, well, I'm going to ignore it. No, you need to do something with your time for Jesus Christ. You got one shot at life and you need to give it your best. You got one opportunity to live, and God has given time to us as a divine opportunity, not just to exist, but to live intentionally. Ecclesiastes says this in the 3rd chapter, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose on the heaven. Amen. God has entrusted me with myself. God has entrusted you with yourself. And what you do really matters. You know, we live in deeds, not years. We live in thoughts, not breaths. We live in feelings, not figures. I want to just tell somebody today in the Holy Ghost, we need to walk well with Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to redeem it. We need to be as dear children. Amen. We need to walk wisely and as children of God. You need to hold your head up, friend. You don't need to drag your life through this life and be one that is wasted and full of regrets. Amen. But you need to be something for Jesus Christ. You've got one shot. So we need to use our time well. Opportunity, look for open doors that God has set before you. Man, turn your radar on. Wake up, realize, I got to do something for Jesus Christ. It's amazing when you start saying, I'm going to be something for Jesus. I'm going to look for somebody to encourage. We have enough evil in our world, enough people that are down and out. Amen. And you that have the light of God, walk as children of the light. Are you do that? Turn the light on for somebody. Reach to somebody. Love somebody. Look for an opportunity. That woman that is standing behind that counter, amen, and checking out at where used to, that's a foreign thing at Walmart. It used to be that way. But that woman that you meet there that is laboring, that's working, that has three kids at home, and she's pushing every effort to do whatever she does. And no wonder she's under misery. She's standing up there. Amen. When you walk in that place, make sure you remember that you are an ambassador of the light. You are a one that is there for her. Amen. Oh, friend, I won't forget walking into a dollar store, a family dollar, whatever, dollar family. I always get them mixed up, but you know what I'm talking about. And there she was. She was so depressed. I said, how you doing today, ma'am? She looked at me. She said, miserably. Oh, she shouldn't have told me that. I said, I'm so sorry. I said, I'm sorry that you're miserable, but you're better off than the person I just went and seen while I go with the funeral home. And she looked at me and said, oh, ooh, no, it's not that bad. I said, whoa, it could be good. I said, let me tell you what Jesus is still doing. Jesus is still lifting hearts and lifting heads. And she said, well, I go to church. I said, oh, yeah. I said, but you know what? Amen. There's a lot of people go to church, but they hadn't found the God of the church. And, oh, in a few minutes, I'm just talking to her who Jesus is and what Jesus can do. She said, you know, I'm starting to feel better. Maybe she was trying to get me out of the way, but I want to tell somebody, turn your light on, turn your purpose on, realize you got a duty and a calling. You have a purpose in life. Look for the opportunity to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Hosts. One of the bugging things that just torments me is when you see people that are so cantankerous and they go to a restaurant and the waitress gets their order wrong, and these people, you know, they feel like, I hold the tip. I'm going to tell them off. I'm going to tell them what I think. And I mean, they grill them. I mean, you don't know, friends. Sometimes these waitresses are working, and if you go in there and you start blabbing your mouth, fussing at them, trying to straighten them out. Now, if they keep on doing it every time you go, just find another waitress. I prefer to have another. But if you go in there and cause a scene and forget who you represent, amen, your testimony is not too great. Amen, I have something more than the grubs and the grimes of life to give somebody. I got an opportunity for them to know the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. We need to be productive. We need to be faithful with what God has given us. You only got one time. What are you doing with your life? What do you do with your life? What do you do for the kingdom of God? Oh, I just go to church. I mean, you're missing it. You're forgetting what God has called you for. God didn't call you to go to church. Amen. Going to church won't make you a Christian like going to McDonald's don't make you a Happy Meal. I'm telling somebody today, God wants a people that is faithful in what he has given them. He's given them an opportunity. The next thing is you invest your time. You sow spiritual seeds. You invest in your soul. You invest in the word of God. You invest in prayer. You invest in people. Let me give you the key to church growth real quick. There's three doors, and I've mentioned this many times before. I feel led to do it again today since it's on my mind. Three doors of church growth. The first one is the front door. We have a lot of people that visit our church and come as guests. We have people that walk in many times. They're guests here. In fact, this church has more guests than most churches, including denominational churches. 62% last year of our guests were first-time guests. And that's on regular services. That's not counting the bus kids and the outreach kids that we pick up. It's not talking about them. It's talking about those that walk in this door. We got to have an open door. We need to reach and love people. When you see somebody new that comes, this little young girl that's come today, amen, you ought to stumble and make your way to them. You only got one chance to welcome somebody when they come to the house of God. Have you ever been somewhere it was strange to you and somebody welcomed you, made you feel good? You need to do that. The front door needs to be wide open. The second door that we need to shut to this church is the back door. We have a lot that come in and walk out, so to speak, the back door. The proverbial back door needs to be shut. I need help and discipleship around this church for you to find, quit waiting on the pastor, quit waiting on Brother Zach, quit waiting on somebody else. Amen. You do your part and say, you know, I'm going to start being a blessing. I'm going to help shut the back door of this church. I'm going to be that one that helps somebody else out and blesses somebody. Everybody say, shut the back door. That's the second door to church growth. If we could shut the back door to this church, if we had 850 visitors last year to our regular services, that's not counting Friendsgiving, that's not counting other special services we had. We've had over 1,500 guests that came to this facility in the last year. We need to shut the back door. Can you imagine if we grew 85 people, 10% of what we had? 10%, 85 new people in this place. 85 new people in our church, if we would grow, it would be amazing. We would have to do something. We would have to put new chairs out. You would have to fight for your spot when you come to church. We got to shut the back door. Somebody say amen. The third door that has to have in church growth is the door to the future. The door to the future is this. We've got to invest in our children and our young people. They're the church of today, and they're the church of tomorrow. Why are we getting all these kids, Brother Crosswhite, and bring them? Because we're trying to invest in our future. Why do we take so much time for our young people in college? We're investing in our future. We've got one chance to teach these children. Those of you that's been in church all your life, you ought to be trying to invest in these lives. Amen. Thank God for people that invested in my life as a young man that said, you know what? I'm going to invest in him. I'm going to do my best. You may have to get weary driving your child to church and bringing them to events, but it's worth it when you invest in those children. Hey, when you see a young person going to a youth camp and you see them going and you know they're struggling, you ought to be that one saying, you only got $5, honey, but here, won't you take that $5 and use it today to buy you something or whatever you need? Invest, invest. Through the years, this church has been good. We send our kids to Colorado. We've been different places. We've been with Bible quizzing, but we need to invest in the door of the future. Can I get an amen? Or am I preaching to the back wall today? We got one chance at investing. And we need to invest while we can. Sow seeds, invest in people. We also, amen, need to realize the beauty of life and have a spirit of gratitude. We're talking about what you do with your time, walking wisely. What you do with that dash. The opportunity of lifetime must be seized, amen, by us. And Leonard Ravenhill made a statement one time. He said, the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized in the lifetime of the opportunity. Think about it. You'll never get the opportunity of a lifetime if you don't get it right now while you're living. Carl Sandburg, another thinker, said this, time is the coin of life. It is the only coin you have and only you can determine how you're going to spend it. What are you doing with your life? Benjamin Franklin said, lost time is never found again. Michael Atchler, he said, the bad news is time flies. The good news is you're in the pilot seat. What are you doing with your time? How are you flying your life? Are you the one that's sitting on the runway or in the hangar? And you talk about, oh, this plane, oh, look at my life. Look how great it is. Look how powerful my life is. But you're not doing anything with your life. You're just sitting there. What good is salt in the shaker? And what good is a life that is never giving of itself of the King of Kings, of the Lord of Hosts? What are you doing for Christ? I heard it all my life. What you do for Christ will last. Everything else fades and rust and burns up. 1 Corinthians 3 says this. Our works will be tested by fire. Only those things done for Christ will remain. Are you thankful today? We don't earn salvation, but we can live in response to it. I want to live for Jesus Christ with eternity in view. Amen. There's three different type of people that you're going to find and how they use time. Okay? And the first one's a little bit comical, but please understand. The type of people that I find in life are these three types. The first one is the buzzard on the fence post mentality. You ever seen somebody that just waiting on death like a buzzard on the fence post? That buzzard just sitting there, just waiting on death. There's those that are just sitting and waiting to die. Stuck in survival mode. No ambition, no purpose, just passing time. Life, I want to say life is more than breathing air. It's about divine fulfillment and purpose. What kind of person are you? A buzzard on the fence post? Or the second type? The fool who runs on fumes. Always busy, always distracted, but spiritually empty. Living for the thrills and the highs and the experiences, but not connected to the source. Chasing success with no lasting impact. I see people running like that. Mark 8:36 said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There's people running and thinking and trying to follow the dream, and but they're not living for God. Then third is the one who draws from the well of God's goodness, who lives with a heart of gratitude and obedience, that finds purpose in their life by doing the will of God, who sees time as sacred. They're present, they're prayerful, they're intentional. They're always going to be that one that you could always look back on and say they were there. John 4:14 says this, the waters that I give shall be in you a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. I want to be that one that knows the source of my eternity and have it flowing inside of me. Which one are you? Are you the buzzard on the fence post? Are you the fool that's running on fumes? Are you the one that is living at the well? Amen. And letting the Holy Ghost flood your soul. Amen. I want you to lift your hands this morning and reach to the Lord with me. Amen. I want you to pray about your life. Lord, I lift my hands. I want my life to matter. I want the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost to operate in me. I want your will to be accomplished in my soul. I want your word, Lord, to be alive inside me. I want the anointing, God, to be that flowing source in me, Lord Jesus, that I'm not just exiting life without giving you, amen, me completely. I thank you today. I worship you today. Amen, Lord, I thank you for your righteousness. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for the anointing. I thank you for your blessings you have for my soul. Hallelujah. My question, are you really living? Are you just existing? Are you running the race? Are you really running the race? Or are you lost in the maze of distractions? The maze of distractions. Was it last year or year before last? Y'all know how they have these big old corn mazes where people go. It was a kid that was lost in the corn maze. Y'all remember that? They couldn't find the toddler that was lost in the corn maze. The sheriff's department had to get the dog out. And they had to turn the dog loose and find that little toddler that probably had crawled in there and fallen asleep. Are you lost in the maze? Does God have to come find you as a shepherd? Amen. Are you totally just zoned out that you're away from reality? Amen. I want to be awakened in Jesus Christ. I want to pursue the purpose of the Lord. Or I don't want you to let the noise of the world drown out your destiny. Drown out your destiny. Behold, now is the acceptable time, the scripture said. Behold, today's the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6:2. Amen. God wants your time to be used for eternal things. Time is a gift. It's also a test. Time is a gift, but it's also a test. One day the clock will stop ticking. But what you've done with your time can echo into eternal life. Remember, you may delay, but time won't. We just don't count the days. We make our days count. Time is limited. We don't waste it by living somebody else's life. But eternity depends on what you do with time. What about your life? Paul said, we need to walk as dear children. Let's not get mixed up in the chaos. Let's keep our purpose. Let's walk in the light as children of the light. And he says, let's redeem the time, walking wisely. Sister Allison, just a few years ago, amen, you had a little boy that you was bringing to church, little boy. And now he's a grown grandpa. Just a few years ago, Sister Riley, you were teaching Sunday school. And I looked at those pictures this week of your Sunday school class. I went back in time. That first room right next down the hall, it was a soda shop at one time. And those kids were, I mean, they would get to church early. Isaac could not stand it if somebody beat us to church because he wanted to be in there. Soda shop, doctor's clinic, wasn't it? Also was a police, she transformed into a police station, a restaurant. A time machine was in there at one time. And those kids, oh, they went there. But I looked at those little pictures of those kids. And Sister Riley, now, those kids are 17, 18, 19 years old. We need to invest. Time is flying very quickly. And I looked at things, even in my life. I looked at pictures this week of me. And I go, oh my, that was just 10 years ago. It was 10 years. We've been in this building going on 13 years. It's amazing. I looked at pictures of the old church where we were there. And I shook my head and God, oh, time sure has flown. But friend, what you do for Jesus matters in your life right now. I don't want to look at life in my rearview mirror with regret. But I want to look at my life right now in the mirror and say, Crosswhite, you've got only one opportunity. Why not be all you could be for Jesus Christ? Amen. Why not walk as dear children? Why not walk as people and ambassadors of the light, representatives of the King? And why not walk wisely in this old corrupt world? I want you to stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to help me go to somebody and pray with them right now if it's appropriate. Find somebody. Go. Don't let somebody be by themselves. I feel as serious this morning what I'm trying to get over, the challenge of the church to wise up and rise up. I want you to help me pray with somebody this morning. It's important right now. It's important. There's eternal things that's mattering in this place right now. This morning, the hand of God wants to touch us deep. And we can't afford to play with it. We cannot afford to gamble it. We can't afford just to push it aside and ignore it. Time is ticking, 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 ticking. I want you to pray for them like today's their last service. Come on, today there's going to be a funeral for a 23-year-old boy that was killed in a motorcycle accident on his 23rd birthday last week. Come on, you never know when time is going to be somebody's last. Amen. Would you pray for them? Would you pray the hand of the Lord would just awaken something in that person? Amen. Come on, pray. Come on, that we would be like the Ephesians, that we would walk as dear children. We would wake up and walk as God's church. Hallelujah. We would march forward. God's calling right now for you. He's calling for you to do something about your life. Amen. You may have not been faithful. You may have not been serious. You may have drugged through your life with depression. But you don't have to today any longer. You could cash into the goodness of the Lord. You could draw. Put your bucket deep today and start drawing for the well of the Holy Ghost. So what about your past? So what about your excuses? So what about your regrets? Would you pray with that person, Lord? Awaken something in us, oh Lord, as a people. Hallelujah. I don't want you just to pray for them. I want you to pray with them. Lord, awaken us.
Awaken us, awaken us, awaken us, oh God. Awaken us, oh God. We can't go another moment of time, Lord, another measure of time without, Lord, waking up. Oh God, help us to rise up and walk circumspectly, wisely, Lord. Let us redeem the time because they're evil. The days, God, are coming up on us swifter than a weaver's beam, Lord. Lightness as a vapor. It's here and it's gone. Oh God, help me. Hallelujah. Would you pray? I want you to pray with an urgency right now. The Holy Ghost is wanting to minister. Hallelujah. God's wanting to wake something inside of you. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, pray with me right now, Lord. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost right now, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God, help me to wake up, to rise up, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, God, wake us up today, God. Hallelujah, stir us, oh God, this morning, Lord. I pray for the glory of your presence, Jesus. The glory of your mercy, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy, 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 holy. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, let the Holy Ghost woo you and draw you to that purpose this morning. Come on, let the Holy Ghost woo you into His glory, hallelujah, and His purpose for your soul. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I will be